Hi.
This is Take Charge Your Health with Corrine Fornari, clinical nutritionist, clinician assistant, and Carol Peterson, pharmacist.
Listen, learn, and I hope you enjoy the show. Bye.
Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corrine Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. This is the first show right after the new year, and so it's exciting. It's a way to launch the new year, and what we will be looking at today with my co-host,
Carol Peterson,
and a guest, and I guess it's the day that we have a special guest, just like they used to say in the Disney program, today is a special guest, and we have a... We have a special guest, and what we're going to be looking at is how to launch our year, this decade, with a very high level of health, and what we can do ourselves in our home, and understandings that we can take and incorporate into all levels of health for ourselves, for our mates, for our children, for our family. And that's what's so important. It's not like this is a recipe. It has to be done perfectly, exactly this way for everyone. It's an understanding that we can take into our homes. So to help us with that understanding, we have Dr. Trowbridge, and he is quite renowned, author of The Yeast Syndrome. He was one of the first people I ever heard speak on yeast and the importance of understanding yeast in creating a healthy body to overcome different diseases. He has been the foundation of integrative holistic medicine, his knowledge that he imparted and shared and researched. So welcome, Dr. Trowbridge. Welcome to our program. You've been here before, but today is kind of a special day.
Oh, absolutely. It's the opportunity to start the first day for the rest of our lives.
Exactly. So, Carol, can you introduce Dr. Trowbridge to us?
I would love to, and I'd like to tell a little story how I decided we needed to call him and have him join us today. I've been following a Facebook page on hysterectomy, and there's about 700,000 hysterectomies done per year. 18% of those are done for endometriosis. Many years ago, I talked to Dr. William Crook, who wrote The Yeast Connection, and he told me personally that he believed that endometriosis was caused by candida. And I happened to be mentioning to one of the people on the Facebook page that she had had surgery for endometriosis, and I said there's a big candida connection and a low progesterone connection with all of this. And even though you have surgery, those two problems are still there. So I wanted to bring in Dr. Trowbridge to talk about some of these female problems like endometriosis and interstitial cystitis and burning vaginal tissue. I believe it's all connected. And I would like to ask Dr. Trowbridge, who's a medical degree from Stanford University, who's practicing in Humboldt, Texas, right outside of Houston, welcome to our show. And would you like to jump in and address this connection? Is there a connection or is there no connection? And is endometriosis hopeless or can we do something about it? And what about some of these other chronic female problems?
Oh, gosh. It's hopeless. You want to talk about vaping or something else?
Something easy.
you know, the frustrating part with healthcare itself, everybody calls it healthcare. It's really illness care because we don't have a functional healthcare system in this country. The story is always said, you know, all roads lead to Rome. Well, that's not exactly true because most often we have diversions and detours that are guided by our physicians, well-meaning as they might be. If you don't have the map or the directions, then you simply go where you're familiar. Mm-hmm. And in that regard, you have to remember that surgeons do surgery, and you know, medicine men do drugs, and the deal is that, you know, you must have something that's treatable by one or the other, or your problem is actually psychological, and we have doctors and drugs for that too.
Mm-hmm.
And the frustration is that we actually have had for really dozens of years the science in terms of being able to take care of so many of the distressing, discomforting problems that people suffer with. Now, you know, quote, female problems. Everybody gets upset about female problems. Well, first of all, nobody wants to talk about them because they're so, quote, private. No, the thing is that we just happen to have bodies that are susceptible to, you know, hosting a whole variety of invasive infections. Mm-hmm. You know, we always talk about bacterial infections, but really, everybody ignores the prospect of yeast infections, parasite infections, virus infections, and in doing so, that's one of those detours that gets you off the track. And therefore, if you stay off the track long enough, you know, we've got surgery.
Right. But surgery, unfortunately, in every case, you sort of remove the organ that's been victimized, but you leave in place the same situation
exactly
that led to it, and you introduce a whole new set of problems.
Absolutely. And you're only removing one of the organs. That's an important part of surgery. You know, surgeons specialize in either the left hand or the right hand, and you know, the problem is that when people are under, you know, attack, in other words, when we're negotiating through life, I'm absolutely startled that we survive it with all of the things that go on with toxins and infections in our environment. But when we're negotiating through life, we go to see the doctor for the most complaining organ. In other words, you know, kind of the weakest link in your chain. But in actual fact, we're being affected all over in our bodies, and people miss the idea that what you're seeing might just be, you know, a flag, an indicator of what your problems are. And indeed, we go on blindly thinking that we have gotten the relief, gotten the repair, and we should go on. You know, I think the classical thing is people have said, heart surgeons say, well, you're all repaired, no problem, go on, do whatever you want, eat whatever you want.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that how I got into trouble with this? That's the truth. And so with, quote, female problems, the area is very complicated. You know, I trained in urological surgery, which is, you know, kidneys and bladder and such. Well,
uh-huh,
the female organs are right there. And indeed, that's what we dealt with. We worked very closely with the obstetrician gynecologist because, well, we're all involved in the same neighborhood and we might as well make sure we do the specialty treatment exactly right.
Uh-huh.
And the deal is when you do surgery, it's exactly what you say. We are just removing a, quote, offending organ. And of course, it's offending because it's giving symptoms, problems, okay? But in actual fact, the problems are much more deep-seated, and they involve the immune system, the nervous system, all of the systems, because everything starts going awry.
Well, I was told by a doctor once, well, it's just a uterus. Why are you so upset?
And he was right. And if you put on blinders, you can look at any smallest thing. That's why we have microscopes. It's just a bacterium, you know, and you completely miss the context in which it might be present and causing problems. I love the arrogance of assumptions of simplicity. You know, the body is a gestalt. It's an interacting system all over everything. You know, the story of the hip bones attached to the leg bone and such. Well, Everything is attached to everything else, and everything is reflected in our health or illness continuum.
Well,
it's just the uterus. And actually, you know, I have referred people for hysterectomy because in my worldview, they had problems that were so profound we were not going to get ahead in any sort of reasonable time. You know why? Because people wait.
Exactly.
Because, you know, their real doctors are going to take care of things, and this other alternative, integrative, complementary, you know, whatever other doctor, well, you know, they don't go there because they have other doctors taking care of them. Well, okay.
The real doctors.
Yeah, well, real doctors. And unfortunately, after the recurrence or after the problem, that's when we start getting to see folks. You know, the yeast syndrome is really not very complicated to understand. We live in a sea of organisms that are looking to exploit how wonderful we are. We are wet, warm, and wonderful. That sounds like a great place to grow. And so we have bacteria, we have fungus and yeast, we have parasites, we have viruses. All of these things are more than happy to take up residence and cause us issues and problems. And the deal is that if you don't, quote, culture it or see it or think about it or whatever, you don't ever treat it, and it remains a continuing problem. And then you get the domino effect. You know, you've got this problem, and so domino disease problems or disturbances follow after that, and pretty much then you finally end up with some sort of specialist you hope will resolve the problem, and no one ever talks to you about your food, which is absolutely critical if you have any of these problems. Actually, if you have any health problems, your food is absolutely critical, and the problem is that, you know, people say, well, I went through that surgery, and they often have, you know, difficult recovery times because you're dealing with a system that already is impaired, already is sick.
Uh-huh.
And so they finally get through it and they go, but I'm still suffering. Right. Because
no,
you haven't taken care of the root of the problem.
And now it's in your head.
Oh, yes. And we have psychiatric drugs. You know, in my career of over 41 years in practice now, in my career, we have seen the development of a field of medicine called gerontology, which means taking care of us older folks past 50.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, gerontologists say that the treatment for menopausal symptoms is antidepressants. In fact, they're very, very blatant about it. The hormones are not indicated, or if they are indicated, it's the wrong hormones and only for a short period of time. And they absolutely neglect that human beings have been living with hormones their entire lives, and it's when things get out of balance, when things get less than are needed, or in some cases more than is needed, you know, that's going to reflect everywhere in the body. And, you know, so basically we get inadequate surgical attention, inadequate medical attention, and inadequate diet, and we go on and blissfully lead our lives, tripping right down that road that does not lead to Rome. How's that?
Okay, so in this case of endometriosis, the person
yes.
that was writing, Have you treated women with endometriosis, and how would you go about it? Do you think it is caused by yeast, yes or no? And
it's one of the factors, definitely involved as one of the factors. You know, more experience that I've gotten in medicine, look not at all for simplistic factors. You know, I explain to my patients, doctoring is, you have way A, we do B. You have C, we do D. You complain of E, we do F. It's all very one-to-one correlated because we're so smart, we've got you figured out. And that has absolutely nothing to do with the interplay of all the factors involved in body disturbances and restoring body health. So there's no question that the yeast syndrome is part of the problem. Let me explain yeast real quick. People are growing yeast and such all over, I mean literally all over our bodies, but especially certainly in our guts. And everybody's heard about the microbiome.
Yep.
That's the bacteria set growing inside our guts. Well, there's also a mycobiome. One of my friends coined that term just a few years ago and said, you know, there's a normal amount of yeast we're supposed to have, yeast and fungus that grow in our guts. And you know, when we start disturbing this, and of course, how do we disturb it? Well, certainly with our diets, with all the bad foods, the preservatives, and the chemicals that have been added in preserves and whatever. But we also screw it up with antibiotics and then other treatments in our medical world. But we never go back to restoring the more normal balance that you need. And we used to think it was actually fairly simple. It is not. It's very complicated to get a gut to restore itself. It just requires additional effort. Well, it turns out that when you start looking at people having problems, you should always start with the gut because that's where it is. And that's where a yeast overgrowth and imbalance is easily seen and treated, and that starts the beginning. That's the takeoff point, the departure for getting healthy. Now, the key is to then take a look at the organs that are complaining, like the uterus or such. And, you know, it's really not the uterus. What happens is, thanks to the way female anatomy is put together, cells that would normally be the lining inside the uterus, the endometrium is what it's called, can slip out through the tubes that head toward the ovaries. And then these cells, you know, looking to find a nice home, can implant themselves on virtually any surface, whether that's, on the surface of the gut or other parts accessible inside the cavity there, the peritoneal cavity. And then as hormone changes occur, these cells, you know, are still responsive to hormones, so they can indeed swell and then bleed, and the bleeding is inflammation, and the inflammation is uncomfortable. And that's a lot of the disturbance with the endometriosis symptoms. Well, the key is to literally take a step back and look at the patient as a whole, figure out where can we make the most effective improvements with regard to their relationship to yeast and fungus, and go from there, because in a lot of cases, the symptoms will become much more tolerable or even disappear. I like to talk about things like interstitial
cystitis,
because, you know, that's one that, quote, nobody can treat, or
yep.
or lichen planus, another one that everybody says, well, there's no treatment for. Well, I mean, these are things that we've helped patients with for years and years. We've actually never missed on a case with lichen planus after people have suffered for years, and it's just a matter of restoring your body balance. You know, your body never makes a mistake. That's important for people to understand. It does exactly what it is supposed to do, given the circumstances. So if you wanted to do something different, change the circumstances. And then your body can heal. We we don't do the work. The body does the work. We just set the stage.
Well, it's interesting in a couple of levels, because endometriosis is so confounding. It's so confounding because before, in early menopause, the way to treat it is to block hormones, danazol, suppression of female hormones, because we know overstimulation of female hormones overstimulates this tissue. But at the same time, when people become pregnant, which is an elevation of all the female hormones, this endometriosis goes into suppression. So you've got this suppression and elevation, and both of those in relationship to hormones block the progression of endometriosis. So you have, it's a confounding disease. And you talk about interstitial cystitis. I have very good results with it also. And I work with some of the things that you talk about. And one of the first things is getting people off of starches and sugars, which is literally an anti-candida diet. And often, not 100%, but often when that gets instituted as their policy in their body, it starts a process of healing. And starts a process of change. I also work a lot with amino acids. But lichen planus is really interesting because what is happening is they're using lasers to burn it off. And they're doing it in multiple treatments. So the burning gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Can you comment on that for us?
Sure, that's a surgical approach for people who don't know how to treat the root cause, which very often is a disturbance to the immune system thanks to an overgrowth of yeast. And, you know, the real problem that we face in all of this is that our doctors are so damn smart, they're not interested in the facts. And, of course, if you start talking facts, they want to start talking evidence-based medicine, what's your evidence, and the fact that you can have clinical improvement, in other words, you treat patients and they get better, is not considered evidence. We need to have some studies, some microscopes, some whatever. And, you know, the frustration there is, but I thought what we were supposed to do is make patients better, not just better explain them. And the situation is, again, the arrogance of the one-to-one correlation. You complain of A, and we do B, and you complain of C, or we find C, and therefore we do D. Even integrative medicine doctors fall straight into this trap.
It's
easy. One of the problems I have with functional medicine testing is, you know, we've done 38 tests, and we now have 38 treatment things we need to add because we've documented something for everything. Well, okay, but remember, the body is a gestalt. It's a whole range of interacting parts and functions, all doing their appropriate job. And what we end up doing then is missing the point. And again, once you've missed the point long enough, you better do surgery and cut it out. I actually got boarded in laser surgery back in the 1980s. I love laser surgery. However, it has what I consider to have very limited application. And that means that, you know, you use it to accomplish, you know, excellent surgery, okay, but not surgery that you don't need. And indeed, in my worldview, most of the gynecologic surgeries are unnecessary.
How would you deal with a patient who's clearly affected by an overgrowth of yeast? What's your plan? How do you guide them to getting relief from whatever it is?
That is such a great question, because I've tried to educate doctors for years. You know, the book came out 33 years ago, and it's still got fake news, you know. So if it's fake news, you can easily disregard it, and that's what the doctors do. I developed a little mnemonic for patients called Don't Stay Sick. D stands for dietary changes. That's absolutely critical. That's always the first step. Always the first step. If you don't do that step, there's no sense in going on further at all. I walked into an exam room about 4 or 5 years ago, and I've been seeing this lady for about a year and a half, and she says, you know, I say, how you doing? Because I'm just expecting this is another one of those visits. She says, I'm really doing better. And I go, why? She said, well, I finally decided to take your dietary advice, and it's really helping. Oh, my goodness.
A year later.
Why did you do that after all this time? So the first one is D, don't stay sick. O is for over-the-counter nutritional supplements. You know, people have ready access, well, at least until the FDA slams everything in our face, have easy access to, you know, vitamin C and multivitamins and multiminerals. And, you know, we actually can get hold of these things over the counter. So that's a great start because your body needs all these things. That's why we actually eat, is to get the foodstuffs. Mm-hmm. The N stands for specific nutritional supplements associated to your clinical condition. So, you know, the diet will provide some, the over-the-counter nutritional supplements will provide some, but the nutritional ones that we, quote, prescribe for patients will often be more intensive levels of B6 and magnesium and essential fatty acids and such that are documented to be impaired by the toxins associated with the yeast syndrome. I mean, that's what we documented in the book, and the reason is very simple. The yeast is not your friend. The yeast is attempting to recycle you. You know, there's three kingdoms, the plant, the animal, and the yeast or fungus kingdom. And the plant kingdom takes sunlight and makes energy. The animal kingdom eats the plant to get the energy or eats other animals that ate the plant. The fungus and yeast kingdom eats the other two. Uh-huh. So in doing so, you know, you're being poisoned by these yeast toxins that interfere with your biochemistry. Well, we have specific nutritional things depending on what's going on in your clinical situation, and we go to replace those because that's what you need to power up your immune system and start restoring more normal functions all through your body, all through your body. That's why, you know, patients don't have just, you know, endometriosis or just interstitial system. They've got brain fog, they've got gut disturbances, they've got loss of energy, whatever, because you're being impacted by these all over. And then the final thing in Don't Stay Sick, the T, stands for treatment with medications. Now, if you have helped us out by doing the dietary changes and taking the supplements, then the treatment will help to slow or suppress the yeast growth in order to allow us to repair your body in the background. And people say, well, how long do I have to do this treatment? Well, you know, how long is it going to take to repair your body? Because all we're doing with the drugs, the treatment with drugs, is slowing the ability of the yeast to catch up and overwhelm you again. And when we do that, it can be incredibly, incredibly effective, delightful. You see these patients who had given up hope in life of ever really feeling better. Well, you know, their doctors said so. Well, actually, the first doctor said so, and then the second doctor, and then the specialist doctor, and the super specialist doctor, uh-huh. And then the other doctor. You know, they all are singing the same tune. The only problem is they're off key with regard to what you need for the future. And so you see these people literally regain their lives and get excited about restoring their health, and then they go on and enjoy their lives, their spouses, their grandchildren, their jobs, their whatever, because they now can. They feel comfortable again.
At this point, we're going to take a short break. This is Take Charge of Your Health. I'm Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist, physician assistant, with my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist, and we're speaking with Dr. John Trowbridge, author of The Yeast Syndrome. And we'll be right back. Welcome back. We're in the middle of a lively and incredibly informative conversation with Dr. John Trowbridge, the author of The Yeast Syndrome. This is Take Charge of Your Health. I'm Corinne Fornari, and my co-host, Carol Peterson. Listen, learn, and enjoy the rest of the show.
And so Don't Stay Sick is a very simple thing to remember. Dietary changes, over-the-counter nutritional, specific nutritional, and treatment with appropriate antifungal medication.
Now, when the yeast syndrome first came out, it became like a mantra in holistic doctor's offices. And And everybody that walked in the door had candida, 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 candida.
Yes.
And I saw literally rivers of this drug that's generally not absorbed into the system but goes through the intestinal tract that blocks or kills yeast called niastatin given, rivers and rivers of it. And the intention was to literally kill the yeast. Now, yeast is a normal part of the balancing of our body. Certain yeasts allow our body to convert and uptake vitamin D, convert and uptake vitamin K, allows our body to absorb folic acid. So where do we get the balance that allows us to be healthy? Because yeast is part of our survival. In the soil, it allows the minerals to be released that we can then receive. It's a part of the balance. How do we recreate the balance again without that almost pathological relationship? We've got to kill it. It's got to be destroyed. It's almost the other side of the coin. Oh, it doesn't exist. The other side is it's got to be eliminated. But it really shouldn't be. It's part of the synergy of life.
Exactly. And, you know, you've identified the crux of the matter is that it starts in the first year of medical school when we have the concept that, you know, again, one-on-one, you've got A, we do B, and so on. And it ignores the overall picture of the gestalt, like you say, well, we have to have this. Yes, well, we don't actually have to have yeast, but we have survived, you know, millions of years of assault in our bodies. We have learned how to handle this and actually to convert and exploit it, which is wonderful. That's what human bodies are really good at. And in that process, our doctors have lost the idea that they're supposed to help restore the balance and encourage normal function. And indeed, you have to remember that the term allopathy or allopathic medicine, that's an MD, is against disease. And so if you define the yeast as disease, then we're going to go against it. And the problem is, wait a minute, well, I don't really care about the yeast. I mean, I really care very little about it. I just need to control it while we're rebuilding your body in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And in that different point of view, I'm not terribly worried about you continuing to have yeast, because you will. I tell patients, we can sterilize your body. There will not be a self-respecting yeast or fungus living on your body in 72 hours, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But when we stop the intensive drugs, in 72 more hours, you'll be recolonized again. And the reason is because that's the natural part of life. Well, the idea is restore your ability to be in tolerance to all of that, to deal with all of that, to exploit all of that. Human bodies are incredible. The healing power that God gave us is far beyond belief.
Well,
Dr. Trowbridge, you've been very active also with biological dentistry, and I have heard that the yeast organism, as you said, the human body is very good at using something, that the organism actually protects us from mercury, like from dental amalgams. And I have read cautionary things about treating yeast too aggressively, because then you move from a chronic mercury toxicity to an acute poisoning when you have a huge die-off of yeast organisms. Like you said, we can, in 72 hours, we could clear it all out. But you'd be left with the mercury. Do you want to address this metal thing? Is that real and something we should consider?
Sure. I have a bit of a different view on that. Of course, you know, I've characterized my career by being wrong by having all these different views that ended up right. But anyway, you know, the problem is, well, and, you know, I gave a lecture in Nashville recently, Could Your Dentist Cause Your Cancer and Other Deadly Diseases?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, we have the same issue. Every time you do dental instrumentation of any kind, I mean, even if you're just doing fillings, you have now disrupted natural balance, and we are very poor at figuring out how do we help the body to cope with that. One concern that I really have, and this has been well documented, is that, you know, amalgams, that just means that you pasted things together. There's nothing special about silver fillings other than the fact that they are 50% mercury, and that mercury can leach out, it can dissolve, it can evaporate. And what happens is we swallow that mercury, the part that doesn't get absorbed by our nerves and go direct to our brain to poison us, but we swallow that, and then when yeast is growing in your gut, it can actually take inorganic mercury and convert it to organic forms, and that is readily absorbed into your body and is highly toxic. So my concern is that, you know, and you bring up such a great point, because, you know, who thought we'd be talking about dentistry when we're talking about endometriosis?
Right.
But the deal is that the body is a whole package. It's not individual parts. It's a harmony of function. And, you know, if people have dental issues, my lecture will be available shortly on our website. The idea is that, you know, if people have dental issues, you have to be aware. Now you have to take special precautions. It's no big deal. It's just like, you know, you better wear your glasses if you have difficulty with your vision, and so you better make adjustments if you have difficulties with, you know, your dentition, your dental situation. Well, the whole point of all of this, again, is stepping back and taking the big picture view of how we're put together. And, you know, one of the problems that I have, for instance, periodontal disease, you know, that's where you're actually getting infection in the gum lines, incredibly common. And guess what treatment we use? We have surgery.
Uh-huh.
And we carve out your gums and tell you you're heading down the wrong track, and we'll do it again when you need it. Why not just take care of it? Most of my periodontal disease, we just handle this as an aside. You know, oh, you got that, great, let's do this in addition. It's called restoring more normal gum function, which means tolerance to all the assaults that are coming on board. And nobody has to go through dental, periodontal surgery, because it's just an infection out of control where the doctors involved don't know how to specifically take care of that for that particular patient. We just rarely have failures in that regard.
No.
So the deal is, you may have a mouthful of mercury. It's a good idea to get that attended to by a biological dentist, not just your regular dentist. And you might have root canals, and I get pretty insistent root canals are going to be coming out because they are pretty devastating to human health. And, the deal is again, it's what the patient's goals are, what their situation is, because over a lifetime, we accumulate all of these stupid things in our lives, and then we have to deal with their effects, the dominoes that have finally fallen thanks to, how poorly we've taken care of ourselves. And, so it's just a matter of what effort and expense do you want to put forth to really help restore your health? It is possible, and, the patients I love are the committed ones. The ones I struggle with are, make me better. Well, I'd love to. I need your help. I need your cooperation in that. It's not a simple drug. It's not a simple operation. And I'll tell you, when I get a patient on board, when they understand what they're doing, this changes their lives for dozens of years, because they can really become dramatically healthier and enjoy their life literally beyond belief. The real problem, and I'll tell you the other real problem I have, and I'm encountering this right now with, a long-term friend, and she has come down with a problem and said, can you give me some advice and such? Well, so I do, okay. And, everybody and his uncle, including her doctors, also has their own point of view about, you don't need that.
Oh, that.
Okay. if you're so smart, why is she sick?
like Dr. Phil, how's that working for you?
Exactly. I have to tell you, I was blessed to get in on this yeast train way back in the beginning. Billy Crook. He was in Tennessee. He was a pediatric allergist, and he wrote the book called The Yeast Connection. And I managed to meet Billy when it was still in typewritten pages, and we'd see each other at a meeting, and he'd say, John, read this. Look at this. What do you think? How about this? And, he had done really an incredible job putting together an understanding for people about how this was affecting their health. And so, I decided to take a different tack on my book, which came out 3 years later, but it is all an attempt to rebalance your body. And anybody who takes any approach other than that is doing a disservice.
Now, our bodies attempt to balance yeast, and we do
absolutely.
It naturally, and we do it through our digestive enzymes, particularly hydrochloric acid, which...
Oh, if you have it.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say, which washes the food, which kills the bacteria, kills the yeast, separates the bonds of the protein. But epidemic...
You're saying you have heartburn. Oh, go ahead and take the antacid, the proton blockers, all those.
Yeah. They're over the counter
drugs.
Exactly.
And, that was one of the great tragedies in my worldview of the FDA. They put the acid blockers over the counter, so drugs that are approved for use for 8 weeks now can be used for 28 years.
Exactly. And I see that constantly. I call that, and Carol and I said we're willing to off-air debate this factor. But I call that addiction.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yes.
And
see, now we have a third party, Carol.
Because I have to tell you why. I had to develop a way to get people off of those medications. Because if you've suppressed the acid production in your stomach, your body is no fool. It goes, I don't need to protect myself from my own acid anymore. Because, you know, your body makes a rubber cement coating for inside your stomach so you don't digest yourself. So if you block the acid, then you don't need the coating. So the moment that you stop the acid blockers of any kind, whether it's just plain old antacids or proton pump blockers or whatever, at that point, when you stop them, you begin to produce stomach acid again, and you begin to digest your stomach, which is hurtful. And the conclusion is, of course,
I really needed that.
I stopped too early.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to do is work with the patient and say, okay, it's going to take us about 8 weeks, maybe a little longer to get through this, but we're going to get your digestive function back. And that might mean we actually have to put in stomach acid, you know, supplements.
Which is what I found.
And when you restore this balance, it's incredible. You know, heartburn is very often not the acid. It's that you've had some acid injury to the swallowing tube or other, you know, problems to the swallowing tube. And yeast has taken up residence there. And then as they are growing there, they put out their waste products. And those are inflammatory. And now you hurt. So the very next thing you do is take acid blockers. Wrong maneuver, wrong thing. And, you know, and the doctors scare them and say, you're going to develop Barrett's esophagus. Well, not if you control all of that and your body is ready, willing, and more than able. You just have to set the stage.
Well, we've really covered a lot here.
Yeah, and certainly I'm not opinionated, but again, you know, my problem is a career of patients getting better.
Oh, what a horrible thing.
I've long since thought, you know, I really don't care what anybody else thinks about it. It's just the way it is. So, you know, when confronted with all of these things, I literally had to develop, you know, procedures. Like, for instance, you know, people talk about, oh, I don't want to feel horrible if I start the yeast treatment. Well, that's called die-off, mm-hmm. or the Jarisch-Herxheimer reaction. Well, I had to fix that because when I learned about yeast in 1983 and then started treating patients, fully one-third of them did not come back for their second or their third office visit. And so, you know, that's a horrendous drop rate.
That's called withdrawal.
Oh, gosh.
Herxheimer's. We got many names for that.
Yeah, I thought I felt bad before I saw you. So you go, okay, we have got to get past this limitation. So, you know, I've developed lots of little easy techniques, and I've shared dramatically. But you know what? I see patients, and this is a great tragedy. I see patients where they've seen some fancy doctor. You know, everybody's gone to a weekend course, and now they're an expert. Oh, we do just what he does. You don't have to drive over there. Well, okay, and I get to see them after they put them on a four-week yeast treatment. I think I'm the only doctor in the Houston area who has, a treatment that goes longer than 30 days. And now that we've treated your yeast and you're still suffering, we have to find out what else is going on. So they spend a fortune doing unnecessary tests, trying unnecessary and ineffective treatments. And years go by, and the dominoes still fall, and you are getting sicker and sicker, losing your faith and your hope. And the deal is, all you had to do was treat the yeast properly. It's not difficult, and it's different for every patient. It has mm-hmm. to be adjusted and customized and personalized because, oh, I'm sorry, one size fits none.
Now, okay, treat the yeast properly. Help us with that. Give us a range of your treatments. I've got a book here right in front of me by someone we both respect, and it's saying, well, treating yeast is easy. The first step, and he's got four steps, And he says it works every time. And the first step is diet. Get people off of carbs. Off. Completely off of any sweets and breads and sugars. And that's the beginning. The next step is to take a prescription antifungal, niastatin or Diflucan, and then explains how they work. And then next step, he talks about, but he feels that this is too cumbersome. He talks about vitamin C. He talks about garlic and oral herbal antifungals, oregano, caprylic acid capsule.
Right.
And he says that that's just too cumbersome. Then he talks about Saccharomyces boulardii in a very high dose.
Right.
Which is a very effective and quite strong probiotic. And then he talks about coconut oil. And he says, you do that and yeast is not your problem. What do you think?
Boy, I'll tell you, I must have been asleep for that lecture. Because it's, well, yeah, if you don't want to spend much time talking with your patients and finding out exactly what they need, because, you know, a lot of these things we don't have any tests for. We've exhausted the ability of a test to tell us the direction to go. We've got to talk to the patient. And, you know, I certainly employ all of those different things. I mean, when I talked about dietary change, sure, and then over-the-counter nutritional, sure, we've got garlic, and we've got oregano, we've got other things like that, and then specific nutritionals, those depend on the particular patient and the problem. And then the drug treatments. You know, the drug treatments are only to keep the yeast under control while you are repairing the patient in the background. And if people don't take a look at the requirements of repairing a patient in the background, then they are just set up for their next go-around. Unfortunately, because they've, quote, already been treated for yeast, they will be looking elsewhere for the answers to their problems, which, of course, means that they will likely never be found. So I avoid oversimplification, but you have to remember, you know, to get into my office as a new patient, you have to take several hours to fill out paperwork that talks about all sorts of different stuff, and the reason is because we're working on getting you better, and a lot of things interact. Like we talked about the dental issues, a lot of things interact. And my job is to find all of the important ones and make sure we've addressed those so that you can heal. And in that process, like I say, everybody's treatment is somewhat different because no two people are alike. And the objective is to teach you how to take care of yourself after we've restored more normal balance. The beauty of that approach is you get highly motivated patients who go on about their lives having an appreciation for what you helped them with. You know, we still get you know, letters saying, hey, you know, you helped me 30 years ago, and this is great. Thank you very much. Hey, that's what it was all about.
Changed their lives.
Mm-hmm. It literally changed. And I thought that's what doctoring was all about, is, you know, help people deal with their lives in wonderful ways. So the key in taking care of it is to avoid the simplicity. My lectures, when I talk to doctor groups now, are much more conceptual. I try to get people to think differently about their situation. I'm giving a lecture in March to the combined two dental groups and two integrative medicine groups, and it's talking about the unity concept of infection, inflammation, and immunity. That's all the same thing. There's nothing different about any one of those. They are all the same thing. You come into the system with one of them, you end up with the other two. And once you begin to realize that, then you take a much more comprehensive, a much more effective approach to getting people better.
Wow, what a journey. What a journey.
I know.
That.
Oh,
I need to tell people,
fun.
Find an old doctor.
Well, I remember I was at a conference and Carol introduced you. And what did she say? If you see a man that looks like Santa Claus as and is on steroids, you know Dr. Trowbridge.
I love it. I love it. Just remember, I do put coal in stockings. Okay?
So time flies when we're having fun, and it just flew right through us. Unfortunately, I can't talk the engineers in letting us have two more hours. So we are coming.
Well, why not?
I try.
We're all powerful.
No. That's my dad.
Wrong people. once again, this has been just absolutely a total blast. So thank you very much.
Can you give out your website so people can see some of your work and contact you?
As a matter of fact, We've just spent some time revising it, about to relaunch it. It's Health Choices Now. That's choices with an S. The idea is that if you don't know that you have any health choices now, then you don't have any.
Mm-hmm.
And we want people to get the big picture. We've got lots of information on the website. We'll be actually putting in a lot more sometime soon. Health Choices Now is an invitation for people. We give away a lot of information. Invitation for you to start your own learning journey on this, because the more you effectively learn about taking care of yourself, the less you need doctors, even doctors like me, because I think doctoring is dangerous. My God. I've seen enough of it up close and personal.
Well, that's the and, theme of our show, take charge of your health.
That's it.
Health choices
and,
now.
Know, effectively, patients sometimes don't understand, but when I see them on their very first visit, I say, I've already started your planning for 20 years from now. You're just wanting to get this fixed. As far as I'm concerned, that's just what brought you in. But we're starting to get things ready for you for long-term survival.
So thank you.
And that's not hard to do. That's the crazy part.
I know people, they don't get their power. They don't completely understand their
correct.
Personal
their power,
power.
Is a spiritual healing source, and you've just got to tap into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's not a pill.
This has been fun. Thank you so much.
Fun for us, too. Always, always, always. So thank you so much. This was the perfect beginning for the new year. How lucky are we?
Excellent.
Thank you.
Well,
so
that's a God thing.
So Health Choices Now, lots of information. You'll really enjoy this website, and there will be more soon. And thank you, Dr. Trowbridge. This has been wonderful. And thank you, Carol, whenever we're
thank
together.
You.
I always learn. It's always
me
a pleasure.
Too.
And we'll
thank
be back.
Thank you so much. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful new year.
You
thank
too.
You.
And we'll be back next week. And happy, happy new year. You've got a few more days of this wonderful days off. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. Start your new year on the right foot, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. You can hear this program in its entirety on my Facebook, Corinne Fornari, RPA CCN, or on Take Charge of Your Health Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health. My website is fornarihealth.com. And my office number is 212-219-0700. That's 212-219-0700. And I know many of you noticed that beautiful music, a big change. My brother's group wrote it for me, Left Hook from Redding, California. Their website is Redding Left Hook. Really special. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.